Good morning. As you can see, we're seated at the Lord's table this morning. Time of communion. Let's pray. Father, I pray for this time now as we focus in upon you. Lord, you've told us to prepare our hearts for the partaking of these elements. Father, we consider this such a sacred time, such a holy time at your table. Important. Use this time to draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The whole purpose of the communion service is reflection. It's the time where we reflect upon Jesus as Christians. We sit at this table and we think very deeply about who Jesus is, what he's done, who he is to us today, and how we can better serve him. I want to consider just one verse this morning to help us focus on Jesus before we partake of these elements, and it's Psalm 62, verse 2. It says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I want to just camp on that verse this morning, and I just want to pick it apart just a little bit this morning. I want you to notice who the Lord is to us as Christians, as seen in this verse. Notice that first, he's our salvation, isn't he? He only is my rock and my salvation. Salvation, the Hebrew word yasah, it shows up 353 times in the Old Testament. It's a very, very important word, and there are several root meanings to the word that I think are very interesting. First, salvation, the Hebrew word, means to widen. It means to open, to widen up. Let's say that you're walking down a dangerous, narrow path with all sorts of obstacles in your way, traps, pitfalls. And you're headed down this dangerous path, and the result, the end consequence, is going to be certain death. But someone comes along and widens it up, opens it, removes all the obstacles, makes it smooth and safe so you can walk safely down the path. That's salvation. A root word also means to be sufficient. Again, think of yourself in a place of tremendous stress. You're under a lot of pressure. Maybe it's a financial issue in your life. You're about to lose everything, let's say. You're about to go completely bankrupt. You're about to go homeless. You're at the very end of your rope, but someone comes along and does that which is sufficient to relieve that stress. The debt is paid. That's salvation. The root word also means to deliver, deliverance, rescue. Let's say you're the citizen of a country that's being ruled by a brutal tyrant, a dictator. People are being killed. People are starving to death. Women and children are being abused. You live in constant fear. But someone comes along and topples that dictator, takes out that regime, and puts that country back into a state of health and prosperity. That's salvation. That's who Jesus is to us. Amen? He's our salvation. For the Christian, Jesus is our deliverer. Because of what he did, the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven, became man, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, endured all that physical pain, but all of our sins were placed upon him. He died in our place. He took the wrath of God on behalf of us. The scripture says that if you place your faith in Christ, he delivers you. He saves you from the penalty of sin. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he delivers you from the power of sin in your life so that you no longer have to live a sinful lifestyle that's destructive to you and your family. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and he delivers you from the kingdom of darkness, out of the realm of Satan. Jesus is our salvation. Religion is not your salvation. Going to church is not your salvation. Being baptized is not your salvation. Partaking of communion is not your salvation. Jesus is your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. It also says that he's our rock. The Lord is our rock. I love that. It's one of my favorite titles for the Lord. The symbolism of rock, what does it make you think of? It makes you think of strength. Rock is strong, a boulder. Formations of stone, the stuff of mountains. Strong, cannot be broken. Jesus is our strength. He himself is our strength. Rock is also something that doesn't change. It's faithful. You can't do a whole lot of damage with rock. It's pretty much going to stay the same. And that's saying Jesus is our rock. He is faithful. He is reliable. He's unchangeable. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus isn't one way today and then another way tomorrow, like so many other people can be to you in your life. They're moody and they change. Jesus doesn't get moody. Amen. He's faithful. He's reliable. You can depend upon him. He's your rock. That term rock also speaks of something that's foundational. We build houses on rock. You can build your whole life upon Jesus. He's stable. Absolutely dependable. Makes me think of how Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount with this wonderful story when he said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus is our rock. Build your life upon him. Solid, firm foundation. He's our rock. He's our salvation. And then I love it says, he is our defense. Jesus himself is our defense. This is the Hebrew word, nizgab. And literally, defense, it means a high place. It's translated in the scripture oftentimes, the high tower, the fortress, the refuge. This is a word that speaks of that impenetrable fortress that you find at the top of a hill. The warriors in those days would go out and they'd battle and they'd be in the fight. But when they got back into their high tower, they put their shields away. They put their armor away. They sat. They rested. They were safe. They're in a place of refuge. Jesus is our high tower, our fortress, our shield. He himself is. You know, a lot of people in this world use the things of this world for protection, things like alarm systems, weapons, fences. And certainly as Christians, we should be very practical and use those things. But my brother, my sister in Christ, Jesus is your fort. He's your tower. He's your shield. And Jesus protects us from also all of the spiritual dangers, the demonic hosts, the spiritual warfare that's out there. Listen, you can't take out a demon with a gun or an alarm system. See, there's a lot of spiritual dangers out there. And if you're outside of the fort of Jesus, but listen, if you know Christ, he's your shield. He protects you from all of that. It's beautiful. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, and I got to be careful to say that because I say that all the time about Scriptures, don't I? This is my favorite. They're all my favorite. But I love Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Christian, who do you need to fear? The Lord Jesus Christ is your salvation. He's your rock. He's your high tower, your fortress, your defense. You know, it's interesting, this Hebrew word that means high and lifted up, the fortress, it can also speak of a high place of exaltation, the place of highest honor. I like that. The Lord is your highest place of honor. Your exaltation is in him. He's the highest. There is nothing or no one else in your life that you should be more proud of than Jesus. He's of highest honor. I want you to notice another word that we find in this short verse, the word only. He only is my rock and my salvation. That is a very special word in the Hebrew language, only. It's called an affirmative emphasis. An emphatic affirmation is what it's called, where it affirms something in an extremely positive way, the most positive way that it can be affirmed. And there's two ways that this word is translated into English, and both of them are valid here. First, it can be translated as truly or surely, assuredly. I think of when Jesus in the Gospels would say, "Most assuredly, I say to you, truly, surely, amen," is the meaning. Truly, he is my rock. my salvation, my defense. In other words, it's certain. It's assured. Jesus can be this to you because of what he did. Done deal. Don't have to question it. And then the other way that this can be translated is as it is here, only or alone. This verse could read, he alone is my rock, my salvation, my defense. You know, he's the only one who can be this. The only one. Exclusively. Nobody else can be your salvation. Nobody else can be your rock. Nobody else can be your defense. Jesus alone. And in fact, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have this. If you have Jesus, you have this. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He only. He alone. Now, why does Jesus say that? Why does he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Is it out of arrogance? Are these statements in Scripture arrogant? Prideful? No. They're spoken from a perspective of functionality. They're absolutely true. They work. The idea being that no one else can save you. No one else can get you to the Father. There's a lot of false prophets and messiahs and religious leaders out there that say, hey, look, let me take you. But they can't do it. It's not possible. Jesus alone is the only one who can get you to heaven. And this morning, we remember what he did so we could get there and consider the cost. As I said, leaving heaven, becoming man. God left heaven, became man. Lived among us. Perfect, sinless. Went to the cross. Experienced all that pain, that suffering, but then had our sins placed upon him. I always think of what happened with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane while I'm sitting at the communion table. What Jesus did for us was not easy. It wasn't simple. Remember, he's in the garden and he was withdrawn about a stone's throw from his disciples, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Understand, Jesus prayed for a plan B. If there could be any other way, Lord. It says in the Gospel of Luke that he was in agony. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Listen, a man is in agony when they start sweating blood. This is how Jesus felt in the garden, knowing what he was about to face. And then he went forth and he did it. He sacrificed himself. He went through all of that pain and suffering. And then someone's going to come along and say, oh, you can pick and choose who can save you. Are you kidding me? Some false prophet comes along and says, hey, I can get you to heaven. Well, what did they do? Think of what Jesus did. And that's just the lie of an enemy. The lie of the enemy is to put forth all of these other folks who say that they can save you, these religious leaders, and they can't do it one iota. Jesus paid the price. We will never understand the full price of how Jesus, his suffering on that cross. And he did it out of love. Jesus would say in John chapter 15, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us in a way that we cannot fully understand. It will take all of eternity for us to understand. He alone is Savior. He only. Notice the promise. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly what? I will not be moved. This is a Hebrew word that also means shaken. I won't be shaken. It means my feet won't slip. I won't slide. I won't stagger around. I'll never be toppled. Picture here is of an earthquake shaking the world. And yet you're standing on a rock and it's fixed. I will not be moved. I will not be shaken. Now, the idea here is that this doesn't say that you're not going to ever face difficulties in life as a Christian. Man, there's lots of difficulties and challenges that we face in this life, even as Christians, right? We live in a fallen world. And just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, yeah, there's going to be those storms that come, the wind, the rain, the things in life that are hard. But you won't be shaken. You won't be toppled. The Lord will pull you through. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Because our feet are standing on firm foundation. Will not be shaken. And by the way, we have that security not just in this life as Christians, but for all of eternity. Way beyond this life. You know, this life is so short. We're talking about eternity here. Jesus, our salvation, our rock, our defense, exclusively so. And we won't be greatly moved. There's one more word I want you to see in this verse, and it's the personal pronoun, my. Do you see it? This is a psalm written by David. David says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And so he can say with another personal pronoun, I shall not be greatly moved. My, I. David could say that the Lord was his personal salvation. The personal defense of his life. David had a personal relationship with the Lord. You must be able to say the same thing if you want this. You have to be able to say, the Lord is my rock my defense.
You might sit here this morning and be able to say that the Lord is my wife's salvation. The Lord is my dad's rock. The Lord is my daughter's defense. That's great for them. But not so great for you. You have to be able to say, the Lord is my rock, my defense. Can you say that? Is that true in your life? You say, well, how do I make certain that that is true? Ask him. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ this morning for yourself. Ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to be your rock. Jesus paid that tremendous price at the cross. He died for our sins, and on the third day he rose again. And now the scripture says you place your faith in him. If you come before him and just simply ask him to be your Savior and place your faith in him, tell him that you need him. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again. The Bible says at that very moment, all of your sins will be forgiven. They'll be washed away. You'll be saved. And the Lord will become the foundation of your life. Let's all bow our heads. Let's turn the lights down. We're about to hand out the elements that represent the greatest sacrifice ever made in all of history. The broken body of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are told to remember his sacrifice for us in this way, by partaking of these elements as a family, as a corporate body. And this is a very powerful way to remember what was done for you. Christian, as we participate in this together, I want you to consider some things. First, I want you to be extremely thankful once again for what your Lord did for you. Thank him and praise him this morning. And then as you sit at this table, consider your life. How are you living it? Perhaps you need to rededicate your life fully to the Lord this morning again. And then maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Right now, you need to do so. Nobody else did more for you. Nobody else loves you more. Nobody else can save you. Christ alone can. And he's here to save. So ask him. As the communion board comes on up, to help me. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, right now I ask you to be my Savior. Be the rock of my life. Be my defense. Be my salvation. Put me in that fortress. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again. Into my life, fill me with your Spirit, help me to live for you. We're going to distribute these elements. I ask that you would stay in an atmosphere of reverence, prayer. Hold these elements and we'll all partake of them together. Sing to the Lord, pray to the Lord, worship the Lord. Gather together as your people, formally. In this holy moment, to remember what you did for us. Lord, we love you. We're amazed by what you've done for us. Because of your sacrifice, we have hope. Our sins can be forgiven and washed away. And you are the rock. You are salvation. You are the high tower. And may we be those who will worship you forevermore with our lives, with all that's within us, Lord. First Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes these words, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And he could come anytime. I'm ready. Are you? Let's stand. And why don't you pass those cups? To the aisle there, so these guys can pick it up. We can turn those lights back on. Let's finish with a pray song. And if you prayed to receive Christ this morning, I invite you to come forward and share that with one of us. We'll be up here at the front after the service, and you come forward and you share that with us, and we'd like to help you more in your relationship with Christ. Let's finish with this prayer song.